I'm gonna share the word with you, and we will be having the kids come back in towards the end of the service. So when you see the kids sneak back in, don't be startled. I need them to help me with an illustration. So there is a method to our madness when you see the kids coming back in this morning. All right. Well, who here this morning would be excited to receive a blessing in their life? Show of hands. We all like receiving blessings. We would all love, I'm sure, to hear about a God who wants to bless you and be good to you. And so this morning, that's what I'm going to preach about. I'm going to tell you about a God who wants to bless you and a God who wants to be good to you. And so since you came through the trouble of coming here this morning, we want to make sure that you leave blessed. We want to honor you. You've made a decision to be here, and so we want to bless you. And so I hope that my message blesses you this morning. But if it doesn't, we have a backup plan. It's called ice cream. And so if you don't like my message, that's okay, because you'll get blessed with ice cream on the way out this morning. And so we're looking forward to that. Several years ago, my wife Christine and I were working at a camp up north, and we were running a vacation Bible school there through the summer. And we remember there was this one evening where we were out on the deck by the mess hall one evening with most of our team, and most of us were, you know, in our 20s, some were even teenagers on our team, and just sitting near to us were some people who were retired, and they were volunteering in the kitchen because their grandkids were at camp that week. And we were overhearing some conversations that they were having, and they were having this fascinating conversation. They were talking about their kids and how they were, you know, getting married and starting lives of their own, and how they were, you know, buying these big houses and these nice new cars and big boats and all these different things that they were getting. And one of these individuals made a comment that I'll never forget. They said, you know, the difference between our kids' generation and our generation is that they want to start out where we ended up. And when I heard that, I thought, I was 22, 23 years old at the time. I heard that, and I thought, that is so profoundly true. And I no longer think that this is thinking that is stuck in my generation and in my age bracket. I think that this kind of thinking has entered into our society, that people want to start something and immediately see the success that the previous generations understood that this takes time to build. And so we want to start off, I mean, we want to get the paycheck of a doctor just because we're thinking about applying to medical school. We want the benefits at our place of employment while we're still in the probation period. I mean, we want it now. And this is the kind of thinking that has permeated our society. We want the blessings instantaneously. We want the successful business, but we haven't even done the work to prove that we have what it takes to be successful. And this kind of thinking is dangerous. It's dangerous because it has this entitlement to it. I want to be blessed, and I want to be blessed now. And the reason why that we have this thinking in our society now is we all have this soundtrack playing in our head, and we all have this song that's in our head that goes something like this. I'm some kind of wonderful. Anybody else? Is it just me? And don't get me wrong, you are wonderful. You are very wonderful. Here's the thing I'm here to tell you this morning. God doesn't bless you because you're wonderful. He blesses you because, and in spite of those times, when you're not so wonderful. See, we want to use the fact that we think we're so great and so wonderful and so useful and so valuable, we want to use that into leveraging God to bless us, whereas God's system of blessing has nothing to do with you performing for Him. And so, Psalm 35, verse 27 says this, "The Lord delights in the prosperity of His servants." Do you know what that means? That means that the Lord enjoys seeing His children enjoy life. Somebody's going to get excited this morning about my sermon. I said that the Lord enjoys seeing His children enjoy life. Parents, don't you love seeing your kids enjoy life? This is the God that we serve. He delights in seeing His children and His servants prosper. So this morning, we're going to discover the secret to receiving the blessings of God. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Acts in chapter 19. And if you've been with us here at NWC throughout this year, you've known that the book of Acts has become our textbook for the year. We have been able to study through the early church and what was God doing in the very first century? Because here we are 20 centuries later in the 21st century. What was God doing 2,000 years ago through the church? And we've been trying to understand how we can see God work through us today. And so Acts chapter 19. And what we'll be reading this morning is a fascinating story about something dramatic that took place in the early first century. And I believe the Lord has a fresh word that he wants to speak out of this text today. We're going to start reading in verse 11 of Acts chapter 19. This will be up on the screen as well. "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them." Now, this is one of those passing comments that you read through in the book of Acts that reminds you that we serve a miracle-working God. And we can just kind of read quickly through this here, but I want you to read verse 11 again. "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of God." Who was doing the extraordinary miracles? God was doing the extraordinary miracles. This is very important theology. This verse is what I call theology-shaping verse. Who does miracles? God does miracles, not Paul. Paul doesn't do miracles. People don't do miracles. God does miracles. But I want you to notice the hands that the miracles came through. Whose hands did they come through? Paul's hands. Which means that we can't do miracles apart from God. We can't see miracles done apart from God. But also, God rarely does miracles apart from your hands. God rarely does miracles apart from using human hands, because God has chosen to work through his people. And so we get an example of what one of these extraordinary miracles was. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, tells us that handkerchiefs and aprons and pieces of material that had merely touched Paul's skin, once they brought it to their sick relatives, to their demon-possessed uncles, they would lay that piece of cloth on them and they would be healed, they would be set free. That's what I call a miracle. You know what else I call it? A blessing. That is a blessing, the way that we have this written here in the book of Acts. Paul experienced such amazing success when it came to healing the sick, not because he was an apostle. See, people think, well, this is Apostle Paul, of course. Of course, the sweat of an apostle would heal somebody. He's an apostle. We make excuses for what happens here, but Paul wasn't able to do extraordinary things because he was an apostle. He wasn't able to do extraordinary miracles and be used by God because he had achieved some level of holiness that you and I could never expect to achieve. No, the Apostle Paul was able to do so many miracles and see God work through him because he understood the power that he had access to in the name of Jesus. Remember back to Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas approached a girl who was possessed by an evil spirit. And Paul, remember we talked about how he finally became greatly annoyed with this evil spirit? And he turned and he spoke to this evil spirit and commanded this evil spirit to come out of her in the name of Jesus. Paul was able to perform such miracles because he understood that there's power in the name of Jesus. And so, let's keep reading here. Verse 13. "Then some itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure or command you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims.' Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this." Okay, so there's seven Jewish brothers, and their father was a high priest. His name was Sceva, and these seven brothers were traveling exorcists. This was their full-time job. How would you like to have that for a full-time job? What do you do for a living? I kick demons out of people. It could be your slogan. You could get that, you know, sprayed on the side of your van. I kick demons out of people. This was their full-time job. They were Jewish exorcists, and so they traveled dealing with people who had all sorts of demonic issues and spiritual issues in their life. And so these seven brothers were familiar with dealing with evil spirits, and yet I would suggest to you that they weren't very successful. Because when they saw the success that Paul had, they thought to themselves, well, hey, maybe I should try this. Maybe I should take Paul's approach. Maybe we should try what Paul's doing, because if it works for Paul, maybe it'll work for us. Maybe it'll increase our success rate. Maybe it'll increase our business revenue. And so, Acts chapter 19, verse 15, let's see what happens. After they say, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. This is what happens in verse 15. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I recognize. But who are you? See, this is the part in the movie where you run away. Jesus, I know. And Paul, I recognize. But who are you? Who are you? Verse 16. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. You know the saying, if you play with fire, you get beat up by demons? You know that saying? Okay, it's not a saying, but you understand what I'm saying. You play with fire, you get burned, right? These seven brothers were playing with fire. They were attempting to do something that they were unfamiliar with. What were they trying to do? They were trying to experience the blessings of God, and they didn't know Him. This is our generation. This is our society today. Everybody wants God to bless them, but they don't even know Him. And so these guys speak to the demon. They try what Paul did, and then they get their butts kicked. I want you to notice that it wasn't the man who beat up these seven brothers. It said that it was the demon inside the man. I want you to notice something, a parallel here. Verse 11 said that God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. This is how the kingdom of God works. God does miracles through human hands. You want to know how the kingdom of darkness works? He does evil works through human hands. Same thing. It was the demon working within this man that was able to overcome, strip these men naked, beat them up, and send them on their way. I want you to imagine with me that you see me one day at the bank, and you see me approach the teller, and as I hand them my card and as I punch in my PIN, I don't do what that little diagram tells you to do, and you're supposed to cover, you know, you're supposed to cover your PIN? You know that little diagram, right? Cover your PIN. So I don't do that, and you see me enter my PIN. And you think to yourself, I have figured out how to access cash from Pastor Tim's bank account. You see the teller give me a bunch of money, and out I go on my way. And so you think, just like these seven brothers, you think, I'm going to try this. And so you approach the teller, and you request to withdraw cash from the bank, and you use my PIN number. Now, do you think that you are going to be successful in withdrawing money from the bank? Absolutely not. Because even though you have my PIN number, even though you have my password, you're missing something very important. You don't have my bank card. The bank card is what gives you access to my bank account. Now, there is one person in this church who does have access to my bank account. You think, well, how's that? Because she has a card. And if you look at the name on that card, her last name looks a whole lot like my last name. Because she took my last name when we got married. You want to know why she took my last name? So that she could have access to my bank account. No. See, when we got married, it would not have been a blessing to get access to my bank account. It would have been a little bit more of a curse because I was in debt. And so, praise God, now we're out of debt, and now she can consider it a blessing to have access to my bank account. The Lord delights in the prosperity of His servant. Amen. All righty. Here's the thing. Here's my point. The name of Jesus is the PIN number. The name of Jesus is the password. They had the password. They had the name of Jesus. Church, let me tell you this morning, there is power in the name of Jesus. They had the right password, but their names weren't written on the bank account. They didn't have access to use it. So you probably heard of something. We read about it in Revelation 21, 27. It tells us about this book that's in heaven called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are people who know the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? His name is Jesus. And these seven brothers did not have access because their names were not written in the book, because they did not know Jesus. You see, the seven sons of Sceva ended up getting overtaken and beaten up and stripped naked by this demon-possessed man, not because there is no power in the name of Jesus, but because they were not in Jesus. If you want to use the power that's in the name of Jesus, you've got to be in Jesus. You've got to know him. You've got to know that he died for you to give you life. So the evil spirit says, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? See, demons are not only afraid of God, they are afraid of his servants, they are afraid of his children. But these seven brothers were not God's children. And so the demons were not afraid of him. So I want to say this again. There is authority in the name of Jesus if you are in the name of Jesus. In other words, in order to use the name, you've got to bear the name. You want to use Jesus' name? You've got to bear it. You would all be familiar with the third commandment. It says, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Now, most of us practice and understand that verse to mean that we should not use his name verbally in a context where we're not actually crying out to God. So we should not say, oh my God, unless we are actually crying out to God. That is the most common practice and understanding of that verse, which is true, and I believe that. I believe that. However, I believe there's a much deeper meaning to that commandment than we've made it out to be. Do not take or bear his name in vain. What the seven sons of Sceva did was precisely breaking the third commandment. They took his name in vain. Why? They didn't know Jesus. They used Jesus' name, and yet they did not know him. It would be similar to you attempting to use the name Clausen in an attempt to retrieve money from my bank account because you don't bear my name. So what, this morning, you figured out what is required for you to cast out evil spirits, not just the name of Jesus, but you have to know the person of Jesus. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Pastor Tim, how did you know that this was the very question I asked myself when I woke up this morning? When I woke up this morning, I thought to myself, I really want to know how to successfully cast demons out of people. I'm so glad that your sermon has touched the very practical elements of my everyday life. Thank you for this word. And to that I say, you are welcome. I believe there's something fresh that God wants to breathe out of this morning. I wonder how many of us are like these seven Jewish brothers in that we want to receive the blessings of God in our life, but we're not willing to make the necessary sacrifices required to get there. You know, one of the things that Jesus loved doing more than anything was telling stories. He would tell parables. He would tell stories. And there is this one time when he told this very brief story, the shortest parable that he ever told in the Gospel of Matthew. He said this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." I want you to put yourself in this story. You're walking through a field, and you find a treasure in that field. A treasure that is so incredibly valuable that you are tempted momentarily to steal the treasure, but you know that that's not the right thing to do. And so, you think, how can I get this treasure? I can't steal it. That wouldn't be right. But you know, it wouldn't be stealing if you own the property, would it? So this man thinks to himself, I better figure out how to buy this property. He goes and asks the owner, how much does it cost to buy the property? And he finds out that the price is so much that he'd have to sell everything that he had to buy it. That's a lot of money. You have to sell everything that you own in order to buy this property. But if you're smart, you don't have to think about this for too long, because when you realize the value of the treasure that is on the land is greater than everything that you own, it's a no-brainer decision. And so this man goes home and he sells everything that he has and he buys the land all in order to get the treasure. See, everybody wants the treasure at the end of the rainbow. Doesn't everybody want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed by God. The only question is, are you willing to sell everything that you have to buy the land? So once you have access to the land, you have access to the treasure, and the treasure is the kingdom of God. Are you willing to sell everything that you have to buy the land? See, if you want to walk in the blessings of God, you can't earn them by working really hard. Well, you know, maybe if I just went to church more, God would bless me more. Maybe, but maybe not. See, God's blessings aren't based on your performance. They're based on your heart, and a heart that is willing to surrender everything in order to receive the blessings that God wants to pour out for you. So what do you have to sell? Do you have, Pastor, are you telling me that I got to go sell my home and sell my boat and sell everything that I own? No. I'm telling you, you got to put a for sale sign on your heart. I'm here this morning to see if there's some people who are going to put a for sale sign on their heart. When you surrender your life, you get everything. See, many people proclaim to be a Christian. If you look at surveys and statistics, people fill out those statistics, and lots of people check off the "I'm a Christian" box. Isn't that right? Yeah, I'm a Christian, which means, yeah, I'm not Jewish, and I'm not Muslim, and I'm not an atheist, and I remember going to Sunday school once when I was 3, so I'm a Christian. Lots of people proclaim to be a Christian, but Jesus actually said that there's going to be people at the end of their life that come to him and say, but I thought that I knew you. I thought that I actually called you Lord, and Jesus said that there will be people to whom he will say, I never knew you. Now, that sounds harsh. That sounds harsh. So what's God looking for? Partial surrender? No. Complete surrender of everything in your life. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you given your life to Jesus? And if you have, praise God. But I want to ask you another question this morning. Are you ready to do it again? Do you know that giving your life to Jesus isn't a one-time deal? It's daily. God, I give you my life today. I surrender my life to you today. I surrender my family to you today. I surrender my future to you today. We like singing certain worship songs. We remember the old worship song, I Surrender All. You know, the hearts of most of us are singing I Surrender Some. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender some. It's funny because it's true, folks. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I want to ask, is there anyone in this place who's willing to put a for sale sign on their heart for the very first time? If that is you, if you want the blessings of God in your life, you don't do it by improving your behavior. You do it by surrender. You surrender your life to God. You sell everything that is of you in order to buy the land in which is the treasure of the kingdom of God. If that's you this morning, I want to see your hand raised high in the air. That you want to give your life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If anyone is here this morning that is ready to give their life to Jesus all over again, I want your hands to go way in the air. Come on, today's a day where we're selling our hearts out to Jesus, church. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your hand upon every person whose heart's cry is to give their life to you. And this morning, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who responds to us, Lord, as we cry out to you, as we declare Jesus as Lord. You respond with blessings. You respond with favor. You respond by giving us your very presence in our lives. Lord, I thank you for your hand upon every person today whose cry of their heart is to know you. And I pray and declare over their lives the blessings of heaven. Lord, I thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, here we are. We're making room for the kids to come on in. Come on up, boys and girls. All right. So, there's a staple household item in our homes. Many of you have staple items that once you run out of, you got to go buy more of, right? Milk and bread. Anybody have staple items that they have to have at home? Staple items, things that you can't go without, things that you'd have to pick up from the store on the way home from church. Well, a staple item in the Claussen household is ice cream. Is ice cream. And it is mandatory. And the word says that you need to raise your kids in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. And so we're making sure that our kids know this, that Kenneth... that the Claussens always have ice cream in their household. And he knows this. He knows this. He's an ice cream fan. Genevieve will be coming along soon enough. We will fill her with ice cream. And so I love ice cream, and so we're celebrating with some ice cream this morning. And as I was thinking about an ice cream cone, I was thinking about how this is a beautiful picture of our lives, a beautiful picture of what I just proclaimed to you, and that is that the blessings of God are the toppings. The blessings of God are the sprinkles and the strawberries and the chocolate sauce. Those are the blessings of God. But the only way to get the blessings of God is by getting in the ice cream cone. Anyone following my cheesy analogy this morning, or is it just me? I'll grab that from you, Susan. Thank you. And so this morning, I'm going to illustrate your need for Jesus through ice cream by getting in the ice cream cone. All righty. So, I'm in the cone, am I not? You know what happens when you get in the cone? You get the ice cream. You get the toppings. You get the blessings, and you get to enjoy all that God has for you. So when you give your life to Jesus, you get to stand in Jesus, and then you get to use the name of Jesus. And so I'm going to get some kids to help me drive this point home this morning. And so we're going to need a few volunteers who want to come on up and make a real ice cream cone happen this morning. So Nevaeh, do you want to come on up? Be the first one to come on up and make this happen. All righty. Do you see how committed I am to my sermon illustrations? You see this? Alrighty, all right, somebody else, who's next? All right, Madison, come on up. Pick your favorite topping, pick your favorite thing to put on ice cream, and pretend that you'd get to eat it. You are not going to get to eat it off of this ice cream cone. I really shouldn't have gotten a haircut. This is really cold. Woo, what is that, Oreos? They're whole Oreos? Wow, this is fantastic. Oh, Thank you very much. All right, somebody else, who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Ethan, come on up, buddy. Okay, the ice cream is making its way down my neck. Okay, fantastic. All right, what do we got, Ethan? What is that? Pretzels. All right, a little bit of salty on the sweet here. Here we go. All right, here we go. Oh, that's good. Oh. Thank you, sir. Okay, who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Isaac, come on up. Come on up, Isaac. Is this what you pictured doing when you woke up this morning? Yeah? That's awesome. What do we got there? Marshmallows, can you get them to stick? Uh-oh, here we go. This is good stuff right here. This is good stuff. Oh, yeah, here we go. Woo! All right, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Okay, who's next? Who's next? How many more we got? All right, Avon, come on up. And JL, come on up. Also, at the same time, you can get some other stuff there. What do we got? What do you got, Avon? Chocolate chips. Okay, here we go. Come on over, buddy. Okay, here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. All right, come on up here, JL. All righty. I should have bought a bigger tarp. Okay, here we go. Gummy worms. All right. Here we go. Okay, so. Everly, come on up. This is delicious. You guys are going to really enjoy your Sundays after service. This is tasty stuff. All right, come on up, Everly. Oh, what do you got there? Here, ready, ready, ready. That got in my ear. I hope that doesn't melt and stay there. Thank you, Everly. Okay, is there any more? Two more? Okay. All righty. Yeah? Ms. Rolko, right? I forget your first name. Tanya? Anya? Here. Oh, my goodness. Who? I did not know there was syrup. I did not sign up for this. Oh, we have to have whipped cream. We have to have whipped cream. Who's the whipped cream expert? Who is? Who hasn't come? Liam, come on, buddy. This is good. All righty. Who's paying for my dry cleaning, by the way, after service? Anybody? I am. Oh, okay. Here we go. Don't stop, buddy boy. Let's empty the whole can. All right. Let's give these kids a round of applause. I feel a little bit like I'm at a spa. I just need a couple cucumbers on my eyeballs, and that'll be good. All righty. So, if you want to receive the blessings of God, I want you to shout, get in the cone with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Get in the cone. All righty. That's my sermon for you today. All right, thanks, kids. You kids can stay here. You can stay seated right here. And believe it or not, we're actually going to do something else still today. And so, Annika, can you come on up there? We've got some names of some people who are here for the very first time. And you're probably thinking, this is the weirdest church I've ever been to in my life. And we're so glad that you could take part in today. And so, here we are. We have a wonderful gift this morning for Anka, am I pronouncing that correctly? A-N-C-A Markovic? Am I saying that correctly? I'm not wearing glasses, so you got to get a little bit. All right, here we are. Okay, come on up and bring Lynn Corfield with you. Come on up, both of you, all the way up to the front. I want to give you a big ice cream hug this morning. And Anka has a prize for you. Is Anka, am I saying that correctly? Anka. Okay, Anka, we have a wonderful prize from Anka presenting to you this morning. Some nice ice cream treats so you can make your own ice cream stuff at home. And Lynn, a gift for you for bringing her here this morning. Let's give them a round of applause. God bless you. Thank you so much. And all right, so it's shower time. I mean, it's time. It's time to dismiss, and so that you can enjoy your own ice cream sundaes in the back. And so we're going to dismiss at this time. Parents, if you have kids in the toddler room, we ask that you'd go right now, go pick them up, and then you can head out to the foyer and the cafe to get your ice cream. But everybody else, you are.